DIY Tuesday.
What?
Brian, we released this on a Wednesday.
DIY Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Or as Blake likes to call it, sleepy times.
Yeah, it's nap time on Wednesday, Tuesday. What is
First, it's meat time and pizza time, then it's nap time.
Why not both?
No, you got that backwards.
We made some homemade
lift time,
pizza.
Then meat time, then pizza time, then nap time. That's the order.
All right, I'll go with it.
Mm-hmm. No, it sounds like a perfect day. We made pizza last weekend. I'm just going to let you know that.
I was feeling pretty miserable over this past weekend. I'm not going to lie. In fact, when we recorded last week, I was starting to feel it, and I was hoping that it wouldn't hit. But it hit. I was feeling pretty terrible.
It's going around again, constantly, and forever.
It's just a bad sinus infection, I think, because it's a week later and I'm feeling, 95%.
So when I spoke to you yesterday, you sounded different than normal ill Brian, which is why I was like, what's wrong with you, dude? So it was much more
it was
in
all
the
sinus drainage.
Yeah. He was like snuffling like like Coyote's friends would after trying some random powders.
And I had a real deep voice, boys.
No, it wasn't that deep.
Like Coyote doesn't have friends. Coyote has acquaintances.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah. No one's going to claim Coyote as
customer,
a friend.
He has customers.
That's right.
Quote, unquote.
Mm-hmm. Here, bub.
We've had.
I do most of my work at the local gas station out in the parking lot.
We've had a lot of good feedback.
Nancy will slip me cigarettes from time to time.
I'm trying to be serious, Blake. Come on. Come on, man.
Sorry.
We've had a lot of good feedback about our 500th episode. So thanks, everyone that fed back. And we all had a great time. So can't wait for the 1,000th episode. I mean, I can because it's
we'll be so
years.
Old.
That's like 10 years away. 1,000th
episode. I was going to say, we'll be like, well, I remember back when we did the 500th episode. I was just a young boy back then.
And I'll be like, I'm thinking it's getting time for me to retire.
And Richard will be like, I've got the 10,000th Gilmore Fuzz I just built.
I was going to say, but Brian, when you did that impersonation of your voice 10 years from now, you just sounded like you were talking normally. What's going to change? Come on.
I know.
Oh, the old ones are the best.
I'm a papaw now. I've been practicing my papaw voice.
Sure, so, makes sense.
You do it really well. but yes, what's been happening, gentlemen? What's going on in your worlds?
A lot.
Yeah, okay. I just got back from Florida.
Florida. So you got to say it right if you're going to say that state's name. Florida. Yeah,
so I was in Dovidas's area. I was in Tampa. Sarasota.
Did you get to bask in his radiant glory?
No,
that's
I think he's in California.
That's not a euphemism
right now.
If any listeners think I'm trying to be dirty. I'm not.
I believe he's in LA now.
Yeah, I think he's hanging out in LA. Yeah. He met his, it's a funny story. He met his lady at the Stringjoy booth at the 2023 NAMM show.
Really? Are you telling me that Stringjoy is a modern day Valentine? That it sets people up like Cupid's arrow. Instead of Cupid having a bow, Stringjoy has got a six-string guitar.
It's a dating service. So you can buy strings or find dates.
Whoa.
We were talking to one of our artists, and she had her friend with her.
We can't let this idea escape, Brian, because there's money in it.
Oh, should I delete this? Should I delete this part? For
a dating site just for musicians.
Oh, why? Are you trying to ruin the whole world or just you're part of it?
Oh, no, wait a minute. There is one of those already. It's called Bandwix. No.
And apparently, you'd also get a lot of pizza deliveries being made as well.
I'm not sure where you're going with this.
It seems like a lot of us musicians don't ever get like the grown-up jobs. You know, we're just not fans of them, myself included.
I'm not a fan of it.
Not a fan of it.
Nope.
I tried it once.
Take away the guitar
underrated.
Pedal stuff. Probably delivering pizza somewhere,
No, you're framing houses.
Or framing houses. Yeah, exactly.
But that's a real boy job.
Because when it
job.
Rains, that's songwriting days when it rains there,
I don't want to talk about houses because I've just had my roof mended, which involved putting scaffolding up outside my house, which I was told would be gone within a day after the job's completed. 1 week ago. And the annoying thing about that is because we've got scaffolding, one, every single day, I see it, I think to myself, wonder what it's like if I just go up there. I think I mentioned this last week. I've just got an innate desire to climb the scaffolding, but I'm not going to.
Climb the scaffolding.
Oh my God.
Just climb the scaffolding. What's the big deal?
Secondly,
He's old. Yeah,
I beg your pardon. Oh, we're going rough on Richard already. What have I done to offend you today?
Are you suggesting that Richard's hips can't take it? Is that what you're trying to say?
My hips don't lie.
I think, Richard, I think you should climb that scaffolding.
I mean,
I'd climb it. I'd have climbed it 14
times. Please ask
by now.
Anna to film it beforehand.
Yeah, certainly. Well, see, it serves a number of purposes. One, it's right outside my daughter's bedroom, and I just wanted to really freak her out by, like, climbing up the scaffolding at night and then just knocking on the window, like wearing a horror mask. But
right, that's a great idea.
You know, in your country, that results in being shot. So I
was going to say, that usually ends up with gunshots soon after. Yeah.
But also,
especially
there's other
words. It's a second
that could
story.
Be done.
Because it's like, you know what? No matter what's out there right now, it ain't supposed to be.
Right. It's not standing in the grass. Yeah.
It is a second
Whether
story.
Whether it's real tall or it's flying, it's dying. Like.
So, I thought that may not be the best idea. So you went to Florida, Bright. Now,
I did.
What did you go to Florida for? Can you say, or is it personal?
Yeah, I can say. She's my niece. My niece got married.
Congratulations, niece Wambler. Yeah.
And this is, so these, my niece and nephew are both musicians. And now my new, I guess it'd be, would he be a nephew-in-law?
A nephew-in-law? Probably, I think you just call him a nephew at that point.
I think, And he's a musician as well. So more guitar players in the family.
Oh, that's great news. Did you happen to see a Florida man while you were there?
No, I didn't.
Well, hold on.
I didn't see that particular type of local.
Floridian?
Yeah, Floridian. Yeah.
It was a wedding.
Hey,
right?
I heard about that coyote up where you live.
Was it a normal wedding, or was it one of your redneck weddings that you've told me about?
No, this was a fancy wedding.
So did you have to wear clothes that were sweatpants and a t-shirt?
Yes, my wife had to buy me some dress pants because, shocker, I didn't have any. And, you know, so I had to actually dress up. And I was like, I think the last time I did this, I don't even remember the last time I dressed up.
Did you have to wear a tie?
Denim jeans? Was that what she went with?
No. She let me go without the tie, luckily.
Oh, good.
But I did have, you know, dress shirt on.
I'm
dress
very
pants,
disappointed.
Dress shoes.
Oh.
And I even asked my niece, I'm like, why can't I just wear my workout pants? That's what I wear. That's who I am. Why are you trying to turn me into someone I'm not?
You know, I had the same conversation.
Uncle Brian, you can wear those if you want.
I had the same conversation semi-seriously with my wife. I was like, if I kick the bucket and you're going to have me in a coffin for everybody to come look at, don't put me in stuff I never wore.
That's a good point.
That's
a really good point, Brian. Let's lighten the show by talking about our own funerals. Excellent idea.
I mean, I will say that I asked my wife Amanda, and I was very serious. I said, people actually wear this outfit to work.
Dude, I used to wear a two-piece suit, shirt and tie every single day of my working life.
It is the most uncomfortable piece of clothing to wear. It's not comfortable.
It is not suitable for creativity. I'm just going to let you know, Brian. It looks damn sexy.
Maybe it looks sexy to someone. It's not comfortable at all.
It does not look good on me. I've worn it enough times. I look in the mirror and I'm like, I look like a raging idiot.
So I'm going to tell you.
Wait, just when you wear a suit?
Oh, raging. I look like an idiot all the time.
Gotcha.
Oh, maybe that's just because I was upset.
This illness that you've contracted, Brian, it's not sarcastitis, is it? Because you have been 100% more zingy and sarcastic since we started this recording.
There's another reason, but I can't say publicly what the reason is. And it has nothing to do with, like, powdery substances or anything. No, that's not.
It has everything to do with powdery substances.
Is it just because of certain like medical inspections that maybe you had to get done recently?
Play
the rubber glove sound effect. Right, bend over.
That was actually a little too accurate.
Hey, wow. A little bit of Foley work. Someone in my family is actually a professional Foley artist. How about that?
That sounds fine. That sounds like a
really?
Good time.
Really?
Yeah. In fact, it is the same. It's Anna's dad's cousin, who was also one of Benny Hill's angels, known as the Hill's Angels, which were the scantily clad girls that used to run around. We've mentioned this before because there is a song literally about Anna's dad's cousin. However, she then went from being an actress to doing Foley work. I've always really loved the idea of doing Foley work. Ever since I was a kid and did sound effects for a play, and I read we had like this one sound effects record and it said, the sound of a guillotine slicing through a man's neck is actually a cabbage. I was like, that's brilliant. That is so clever. Mm-hmm. And ever since that day, I've wanted to do Foley work. Maybe this is my vocation.
You've got more of an in than any of us do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There you go. Yeah.
This is true.
But it would be cool.
All you need is a cabbage.
So back
you've
to
got
the
Logic
wedding.
Pro, so you're good there.
As they were musicians, did they change the wedding vows? With this ring modulator, I thee wed. Is that how it went?
They're all creative people. So yes, it was not like a traditional wedding at all.
Through thicker and crunchier tones.
They did not change it in audio terms at all. But it was very unique. Yeah.
What was the music?
For example, what was it? Like 90s and 2000s pop rock type stuff.
Awesome.
So, I guess it'd be my nephew-in-law or whatever, took the name of his wife. So he took my name, my last name, rather than vice versa.
What? Wow.
Does his surname rhyme with Gritler by any chance? Because I can't think of any other reason why you might want to take your spouse's name unless you hated your name.
I've been wanting to be rid of this name for my entire life.
I guess it's a thing. I don't know. From what I've been told, it's a thing amongst the kids these days.
I'm kind of into it. It's just like whoever had, like, what if you...
Yeah, he's like, I like that name. That's cool.
What if you have like a cooler last name? Like,
I warned him. I said, trust me, if your last name is Wampler and you walk into a guitar store, it's going to make things difficult. It will not be as fun because people will ask you questions about diodes a lot.
The sausage counter.
That's not true.
Or, you know, at the slaughterhouse whenever you take your pig or cow there or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Actually, someone did make
Are you the Wampler from the sausage roll place?
Huh? I thought I recognized you.
Why has he got old again, Blake? I swear that is actually his real voice. Like,
I've got like two accents, and that's one of them.
Hello, man who works at the abattoir. I think you should retire.
I mean, your comment there about the sausage reminds me of a comment someone made on the picture of my pink fuzz pedal that I made. It was Andrew Emery. He said, you're going to start making sausage next, which I thought was quite a new comment. Before we get on to the DIYs, I just want to finish off with the whole wedding and whatnot. Sure. My daughter said the same. She said when she gets married, never mind what the husband wants, they're taking our surname. I'm like, I love that. So I think maybe you're right. Maybe it is a modern thing. But what sort of musicians are they?
So his name's Gavin. Gavin is a really great guitar player. Really good guitar player, actually.
Really?
Yeah, he plays in a band. They were in a band. Actually, they met because my niece is a singer. She plays guitar too, but she's a singer primarily.
Amazing.
And so she was a singer. He was a guitar player, and that's how they got connected.
It's a story as old as time.
Right, Dave the singer. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but I mean, they played at a band called 1076 around Sarasota.
Called what?
1076.
And why would they be called 1076?
Because 1176 is a compressor.
Exactly. A compressor that a certain someone may have accidentally told people about.
Hey, it was shown at NAMM. Not my fault. No one made notice of it.
You've said too much. We'll say no more. That's a beautiful story, though. So you have just inherited a new band member as well as a family member. I love that.
Yes. More people to take over the business when I kick the bucket.
Which, by Blake's earlier comments, we're going to start planning shortly. Have you guys ever thought about what music you would have played at your funeral?
Ooh, a little bit.
Deep silence there.
I'm thinking Merle Haggard, Stay Here and Drink.
I mean, Merle Haggard, Sing Me Back Home.
Nah, that's too sad. We need a party. We need an uplifting song.
Uplifting song?
I was thinking...
this guy's finally dead! Yeah!
You know, at my funeral, I want an open bar.
I was in between the song Atmosphere, not the Joy Division version, the Russ Abbott version. That will resonate with some English listeners, but only about three.
I have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
Or maybe Timmy Mallett's version of Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny Yellow Polka Dot Bikini.
Depends on what you're wearing.
I've heard that one.
Well, that then answers your next question about what I'm going to wear at my funeral. Because trust me, it's not going to be nice. No, I don't know.
I'm sorry, Richard. We're going to have a closed casket on this. No, he died of natural causes. It's fine, but trust me, we're going to want to close the casket.
He insisted on being buried in his underwear. It's not a pretty sight.
I mean, to be honest, I have made instruction to not spend any money on disposing of me when my body is no longer living.
That's what I said. I told my wife, throw me in the garbage can. Do whatever's the cheapest thing you can do. Who cares?
I mean, throwing you in the garbage can, it depends how long you got to wait for bin week. Because if it's at the first day of a 2-week cycle, might not be the best idea. Yeah.
Well, I know when you have a cat die in your driveway that's not yours and you'd have no idea how to identify it, you can go ahead and double bag it and throw it in the garbage can. That's one thing that some people can do.
No way.
Has that happened to you?
What?
Are you serious?
I've heard of it happening
before. Confessions of a bin abuser.
It's actually in Eugene, Oregon, which is just a little south, and in a few other places around here. It's actually like how they instruct you to get rid of squirrels and stuff if you get a dead one.
Really?
Mm-hmm. They say just make sure you double bag it.
You know how I get rid of squirrels whenever they die in my yard? I wait until the next day and the coyotes eat them.
Feed them to a raptor. Live in the woods. Otherwise, I would do the same thing.
Oh, yeah. There's never a chance of a dead animal in my yard for very long. It's gone within a day.
See, in England, we have a system of like different colored bins. So, for example, general waste in my county goes into a green bin. Recycling will go into a blue bin. Garden waste, I think, goes into a brown bin, but I just throw it over the road. We also have a fur-topped bin, which is what we put roadkill into. So you'd have to have put it into your fur-topped bin.
Oh, that makes sense.
Now, we have separate bins or trash cans, like we call them here in the States. But no, we don't have bins for like dead animals.
No, I was joking.
Oh, really? I don't think a grass
clue, the clue was in the fur-lined. That doesn't.
Yeah,
work. I missed that part. I probably
I got
just
it. I was with you, Richard. Don't worry. That does remind me of something that happened this morning, though. You guys want to hear about my text with the scammer?
Ooh.
I'm all for the scamming.
I got a short text thread here with a scammer. The new thing that's going on here is you'll get a text from a number that is like a wrong number. And they'll just be like, hey, so-and-so, I forgot my coat at your house last night. Can you, or what? Oh, they'll make something up.
And this happened to my stepdad. And he fell for it.
And when you reply, they try to engage and like become friends with you and eventually take your money. But I was trying to be careful. I want to make sure that this was that before I went down the Wyland path of messing with scammers. Hi, Dr. Eleni. My puppy Baron has been vomiting since early this morning. I don't know what's causing this. Can you help me? Sorry, you have the wrong number. Oops, I'm sorry to learn this is not Eleni. I think I sent the wrong message. I hope you are not angry. Not at all. Good luck with your dog. Thank you for your concern. And here's where they got it wrong. I can feel that you are a dog lover. Do you have a pet? I'm not necessarily a dog lover. I have a French bulldog. So by this point, I'd realized what was going on, and I said, I used to, but I just accidentally kept eating them when I got too hungry. Do you ever get that hungry? And then he said, you rob dogs of dog food? I said, oh no, I'm mostly carnivorous, kind of like a cat. And then I said, I just like meat, shrugging emoji man. And then they said, cats eat blank, so you can eat blank too. I said, speaking of eating blank, stop scamming people and get a real job. To which they replied, you stupid dog. So that was pretty much the end. Oh no, I did have one more. I said, yeah, I'm the dumb one. Have a good day attempting to rob people's grandmas. Rethink your life. So.
Brilliant final response, by the way, because I am really into this, mainly because I've been harassed by scammers to the point where I have developed a number of strategies to get rid of them. But I've known people to
have those voices that you have ready to go.
I still have them ready. Mm-hmm. There's a brilliant book out called Keanu Reeves is Not in Love with You. Written by a Twitter
Wait,
personality
what?
Called
Hold on. That's
Becky
not my
Holmes.
Understanding.
And she kept getting these messages like, hi, this is Keanu Reeves. I'm in your country, but I need $500 for the bus and those sort of things. And she would respond back to them and engage them in conversation, but then just throw in odd, like random things like, yes, I live in Bummington-on-Sea or something like to an English-speaking person would sound ridiculous, but to someone where English was the language merely of scamming, they didn't pick up on it. She's written a whole book about it. It's brilliant. But the scam I've heard about recently, which has a weird name in Chinese, but it's the romance finance scam, where what they'll do, they'll scam you on two levels. They'll engage with you romantically, get you to the point where you're sort of like impressed by them because they've got this amazing lifestyle. And then they're like, okay. I got this lifestyle by investing in this one company. And then they'll get you to invest in this one scam app or company or, you know, fake currency. But it's an incredibly elaborate and long layoff in order to receive your money. And I'm like, these people are just, they are the scum of the earth. If you make your money...
This gives me a marketing idea. So I can just I can just text people and be like, I have this lifestyle thanks to guitarpedalcourse.com.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, invest honestly,
in
Bri.
Invest in it.
Honestly, Bri, this probably is the portion of the podcast you should scrub because you probably can apply the psychology of that scam to marketing. I'm not sure how Amanda will feel about you kind of romancing people along the way, but sure, why not?
Maybe you don't have to go full-blown romantic. Maybe you could go like, listen, you know, you're so close, man. You're so close. You're right there to breaking through to the big time. You're the next Brad Paisley.
What, you're saying he could be like your Gary V romantic?
Your tone like, is just a, like no, your tone is just a little off. No, it's dirtier than that.
Oh, there is filth. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. Your tone's just not quite there. I think if you... spend some time dialing in. Well, first of all, you're going to need a few more Wampler pedals. That'll help a lot. And then secondly, if you go to my course, guitarpedalcourse.com, you can learn how to have the tone that will actually propel you to stardom. That's how you do it.
Mm-hmm. You're hired, Blake. You're hired.
All right. I'll do it.
I mean, actually, all you've really done is kind of describe what we do, which is like, you need to buy our pedals because the tones are amazing. Which is kind of what we're in it for. And actually, I've had another professional of the industry comment on what an amazing ear you've got this very weekend, Bri. I went for a luncheon and a little trip around Anderton's with Jordan from Poison Noises, who was on a whirlwind trip of Copenhagen, Paris, and London. as you do. And I met up with him and his partner, and we went and had a look around Anderton's in Guildford, which was pretty cool. I saw some amazing things, which I need to talk about in a minute. And we chatted about the pedal industry, and he was like, one thing you cannot deny is Brian has got a pretty good ear for dirt pedals. I'm like, it's all right. It's kind of...
It's okay. It's, I mean, it's...
You know...
It's fair to Midland, you know?
Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. It's no digital woman, but it's not far off. I mean, I didn't say that.
Really, all I do is, I mean, I usually just ask ChatGPT to come up with schematics.
And you've been doing that since day one, right?
Yeah, that's basically what I do, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Well, even better, yeah, Brian, soon ChatGPT will be able to do your videos for you. You won't actually have to do anything at all with Sora or whatever it's called. You can just be like, design me a pedal, ChatGPT. Film me a demo video, ChatGPT. I mean, it will sound like hot anal secretions, but yeah, why not?
Yeah, that's... I actually do not look forward to the time whenever Sora comes out and there's a billion more gear channels that are all just wildly mediocre, you know?
Yeah. It's one of those weird things where I do think that the advancements that have been made are pretty interesting and pretty cool.
Oh, sure.
But, so, yeah. But it's actually cool. It's kind of slowed down a little bit, I feel like, though. Like,
well, the
you can
video
tell
is,
when things are AI.
Yeah, you know? 100% can. But the video is obviously the next stage up. What I like about the video...
They haven't mastered images yet. I'm surprised they're moving on to video already.
It's limited by description. But what is going to be useful is the ability to... Like, I've seen it morph from one video to another. So you can say, turn this video of a parrot into this video of a dog, and it'll run like a proper CGI morph effect. Now, that is pretty useful. If you can use it to create clips, that could be really entertaining. But I'm with you. Like, I already hate every AI image I see, just by default. And now I'm checking more and more images when I see them, and I'm like, is that AI or not? Like, here's a brilliant painting I did. I'm like, you didn't do that. That's AI. The fact that I'm questioning these things means it's bad news. When I read a blog that's written by AI, and look, hands up, I have used ChatGPT to help me write content for clients because it's very good at certain things. But when I see a blog that's purely written by AI, I'm like, I don't want to engage in this company. And I'm not even joking. When I said to you recently, if I see any company marketing with the word elevate, I'm just like, you've used ChatGPT to write this. I'm not buying from you. There's like,
what if
one
the company,
company
name is Elevate?
Well, go screw
Elevate
themselves.
Pedals.
No, we are not doing that. But anyway, it was a little sidetrack from the meat of this particular pie that I wish to discuss with you, which is
Jordan. Meat. Now I'll wake up.
Jordan is a super... you've had him on your show, right, Blake?
Mm-hmm.
I think you have. Yeah. He's a super bright guy. Very entertaining. Like, I don't think I need to say, it takes a certain force of character to make me shut up for an entire meal. But essentially he did. You know, he managed to talk more than me, which isn't normal in a social scenario. And he's got a lot of very cool ideas, a lot of cool products coming out from him. I'm just going to say anybody who...
Like what?
Well, let me tell you about his next five releases live on the show, Brian. First, he's got the Germanian Glumness. It's a slightly darker version of the Tumnus. No, he's got some really exciting stuff going on. So if I was going to, you know, throw my hat in the ring of people to watch out for, Jordan from Poison Noises is right up there. Not as in, watch out, Brian, he's come to steal our dinner, but as in, this guy is going to go places that we're all going to enjoy.
Jordan,
he's gonna
stop
make
burgling
some...
my hams.
I did take him to a restaurant that I deliberately knew would have really nice kind of English food there. And he had the fish and chips. I ordered a shepherd's pie so I could give him some. And for
no
pudding,
blood pie or whatever you call it?
No blood pie, Bri. For pudding, or dessert, as you Americans call it, They got the tea and scones, and I had to instruct them on the etiquette of eating scones, and it involved some hilarious banter. He and his other half were most amused by my my descriptions of how to consume food. But yeah, dude.
Did you get white gravy for your scones?
No. The scones came with, well, they came with clotted cream, jam, and strawberries, as they should. And by jam, I mean jelly. And by jelly, I don't mean jelly. I mean jello. No, jam, jelly. I don't know. You American.
Preserves? What are you talking about?
Preserves. Preserves. Yes. Mm-hmm. Although,
jam.
If we in have, France.
We have jam on these.
You should probably not ask for any preservatives for breakfast, Blake. Let me just tell you that.
What does that mean in France?
They'll send you a bag of salt. Here you go.
No, they'll send you a condom. A preservative in French is French for condom. I'm just going to let you know that before you go there and make a big mistake at breakfast like I did. I didn't.
Well, this is going to be hard to eat.
How are you going to smear this on your toast?
Let me show you. Guys.
Oui, I will show you.
Do not insult the French, Blake. They are not a forgiving race. Let me tell you that
they
right
are,
now.
They are. You're right. They're harsh. They'll mess you up.
Oh, they'll bear a grudge for centuries.
They do. I mean, you kill a few thousand of them and they're mad at you for the rest of your life.
Oh, my gosh.
Am I bringing up medieval
moving
rivalries?
Swiftly forward.
Is that a bad thing? Is it too soon? Moving to bring away up from the mild
xenophobia and whatnot. You put out a video this week, which bizarrely completely dovetailed with an article in Total Guitar that I read about the inflation of guitar prices.
Did you just say you read a magazine this week?
Online.
Oh, okay. I'm like, I thought you went and bought a paper magazine. I'm like, wow, is that like? And where did you find a magazine at?
They've got them at my supermarket, but I don't buy them. I just go, flick to the back. If they're not reviewing one of our pedals, I put it down and walk away. That's normal for me.
That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it.
So I saw the video when it came out, Blake. I haven't finished watching it because, I don't know, work. How's the response been to it so far?
You know, way more positive than I thought. I thought people were going to have it's trucking along fairly nicely relative to the size of my channel, but it's not like went insanely viral or anything. But the engagement on it is really, really high. People are definitely leaving a lot of comments, but it's been largely positive. I thought people might have a response of like a more emotional based response, if that makes any sense. I thought they might be what's that?
Angry?
Scared? Angry without actually having a reason to be. You know what I mean? I thought they're going to be like, no, like the numbers don't matter. I feel like things are more expensive, therefore they are. When in reality, versus what people were paying in the 50s and 60s, it's not even close, right? For a large portion of the guitar products that are out there now. And that's something that I've talked about with people behind the scenes for years, is just wanted to demonstrate, especially the point that like the blues guys were boiling their strings because a pack of strings was $30 equivalent. You know, that's not the same thing as it is now, you know? And a lot of people don't know that. They just they view it. Yeah, through the,
I remember buying strings for $5 a set years ago, like in the '80s or something like mm-hmm. that. You know,
it's getting harder to find because it's very difficult to make those numbers work even at scale, and even if you are using certain resources that maybe would be questionable in the industry to use to make them, which we do not do. But
are you talking about child labor, or are you talking about outsourcing it to, whatever I say is going to be politically incorrect. I'm going to just scrub the rest of this conversation.
I'm talking about using...
I know what you're talking about. I'm tooling with
resources
you, sir.
That are questionable. Let's just put it that way. That some manufacturers have been rumored to do. But no, and I was just really, I thought people were going to be mad at it, the video, more than anything, just because like somebody brought up a good point in the text thread when I sent it out to them. They were like, how did they put it? I believe it was David Lawrence, actually, who listens to this show as well. some people call it vibeflation, where like the difference between like a pack of eggs being $3 and a pack of eggs being $5 sucks, but it doesn't actually like make that much of a difference in your life, but it feels bad, right? It sucks to see something that was, you know, it just feels weird, but the fact that it's $5 now doesn't drastically change most people's day-to-day life.
Right.
And I was like, actually, that's an interesting point. And there are a lot of things that fit that category where it's like, oh man, milk's now a dollar more than it was. And that sucks, but it's also like not that big of a deal for the most
part.
Because
you've got to pay for it anyway. So you're going to.
You're going to, and it also doesn't physically change much. It's like, okay, you have a dollar less. And that adds up over time. And I'm not saying that inflation isn't a problem in this day and age. It super is. I'm just saying sometimes the things we get mad at and point like, oh, inflation, oh, blah, they're not even the things that actually have as big of an impact on our lives. It's just the things that feel worse.
So, I kind of see where he's coming from. What did the
Total Guitar article say?
So the Total Guitar article was a little bit different. Basically, what the Total Guitar article was pointing to was you're looking at these new prices. Like, so now the basic level for a Mexican-made Fender guitar of good quality is going to, mm-hmm. like a Vintera, for example, is going to be $1,000 plus.
Yeah.
And if you go back 5 years ago, that was base level for an American Fender, a US-built Fender. Mm-hmm. So what you're going to see is the rise of the premium offshore-built guitar, which, you know, the Yamaha Pacifica being one of the greatest examples. It's, I think, a $4,000, $5,000 guitar in its top spec. And obviously, you know, not made in the USA, but of amazing quality. And what the article essentially goes on to say is that where quality of manufacturing processes has massively improved over the years, mm-hmm. it's mattering less and less where guitars are actually made.
Sure.
So the idea that the US is the kind of stamp of quality in guitar making may still be there, but you're now going to pay kind of like premium sports car pricing for them. So you're going to see your basic American Fender guitars, like let's say the Pro Series, so something that sits right in the middle of their line, they're going to be $2,000 plus, and that isn't going to change. You know, Les Pauls are going to cost you more than a few bags of sand, but that's just going to be how it be, and we've had it very good for very many years. You know, in my mind, a mid-range US Fender should cost me no more than £1,000, which was the kind of benchmark in this country for 5, maybe 10 years. But those days are gone, you know. And what happened is we all went guitar mad in the pandemic. We started buying everything. And, you know, as people who benefited from that, we were very grateful for the business. Feel free to spend as much now as you did then, of course. But, you know, it led to stock shortages. And then it led to stock gluts because manufacturers would buy more stock to fill demand, which wasn't there anymore. And they've got no choice but to raise prices. So these prices are here to stay. So I think we're all going to have to be a little bit less choosy about where our guitars are made if we want that particular guitar. And we're going to have to accept, you know, when I was looking, I looked around a certain famous Guildford-based UK guitar shop this weekend. And most of the guitars that I was looking at, I really wanted, like they were custom shop, new old stock guitars and whatnot. You know, we're talking £5,000. Now, who's got £5,000 to blow on a guitar right now that isn't a multimillionaire or Brian Wampler? The answer is,
yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. They're the same thing. Sorry.
But hold on.
A multimillionaire heard, like Brian Wampler.
From what I've heard, there is no inflation and the economy has never been better.
That's what I heard.
I'm being told.
I've heard some elderly gentlemen make those statements.
Well, actually, though, what this article does say is we are probably now over the hump with inflation. I've heard that before too.
It seems, at least from what we've been experiencing. It's always
so prices should settle. So we're not going to see prices keep going up. But I think we all need to just accept that things are more expensive and good quality guitars are going to be more expensive. What isn't going to be affected in the same way, of course, is the secondhand market. And that's very much what was prime for me as a guitarist when I grew up. So growing up in the 80s yeah. and 90s, the idea of going in and buying a Fender Stratocaster was well beyond my means. Like, I couldn't even imagine how rich I'd have to have been to do that. So I would buy something secondhand and trade it in and trade it up. I think we're going to see a lot more stimulus in the secondhand market. And certainly, you know, as a significant birthday approaches for me in the next year or two, I'm thinking about getting a really nice guitar for my birthday. I'm probably going to look at something vintage because I think that's probably where the value is going to be. I think that's, if you're going to spend big money on a guitar, look at the secondhand market now, I think. That would be my advice anyway.
Brian, you can speak to this comment a little bit. This kind of going back to the video a little bit. What the one negative, and I already know the answer to this, but you know, here we go anyway. The guy basically accused the entire guitar industry of jacking prices up during lockdown. I pointed out to him.
Oh, we missed the trick there, Bri.
Yeah, exactly. I pointed out to him that maybe some companies did that, but largely that did not happen until after lockdown started easing and supply chains, you know, were just a complete disaster. And everybody, I can confidently say that lots of parts that I saw increased on average about 30%.
Oh, easily. And if you're talking chips, we had some chips that like
300%.
Or five times the price. Yeah. Like, what was it, the Dream chip, I think?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that we actually looked at re-architecting some of our hardware because it might be cheaper than buying chips at 500% or whatever.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Or maybe there's a spin chip. One of those well-known chips were like five times higher.
I remember the Dream chips being insanely expensive comparatively. I'm sure that there are companies that did take advantage of that somewhere, but like everybody I talked to was just basically, they kept their prices the same as long as they physically could. And still $200 is still, even after all this chaos, like it's still kind of in most people's minds, the base price point for a pedal.
There's some Boss pedals that are around $200 now.
Exactly.
You know? Right. And like when we grew up, Bri, you know, in the late 80s, 90s, Boss pedals were at the high end of the range. You couldn't go and buy $200 pedals easily. It was basically $80, $90 pedals, which back then we couldn't afford. Probably actually $50. Over here, I think Boss pedals were about £60 when I was a nipper. But I had to go and buy the DOD ones, which were like £30 because they were half the price because they were suckier. But there was no really expensive pedals on the market back then because no one could afford the Boss pedals from my generation anyway.
Things are quite different. But I think it seems like people get confused when they start pointing fingers at corporations, you know, because obviously there's a lot of talk about corporations making, you know, crazy profits right now, right? But these aren't corporations like pedal companies.
No.
You know, that's not the corporations that are making insane profits.
I'm not sitting here trying to say that those big companies aren't doing that. They are, and that's part of the reason that our prices went up.
Part of the reason that Blake froze on us?
Part of the reason. See, they cut Blake off right now. They literally just...
They
didn't want to hear what I had to say. The big cable company just tried to cut me off. And they raised their prices.
Okay, so, I mean, I didn't hear what you had to say, but I think I know what you said.
You're doing better than me, Bri, because I'm really confused right now.
I don't know why it keeps freezing. I have no idea.
This is very strange. But
stop saying controversial things.
I guess what I was trying to say is that smaller companies that are technically corporations like pedal companies and amp companies and stuff, those aren't the companies that are making record profits at all. In fact, if you talk to anyone that owns a company in the gear industry, they'll tell you they're way down right now. And it doesn't matter who you talk to, everyone's down. But the reason for raising money, like there's so many different parts to it. Like, for example, let's say you have people that work for you. And the people that work for you are saying, I can't pay my bills because of inflation. Well, as a small company, you can either pay those three or four people a little more money to keep working for you, or you go do it all yourself. So generally, you have to pay them more. And so like your expenses get higher, which means you got to raise something somewhere. Something has to change because, you know, you're not driving Lamborghinis around. You know, there's no yachts. There's no multiple homes that we have. So things just kind of be how they are right now until we all go to, hold on, let me make this purchase real quick. Until we all go to Bitcoin. Yeah, once if we all just went to Bitcoin, everything would be better.
My name's Brian Wampler, and thank you for attending my TED Talk. I'm not sure how we got to economics and the world state, but yeah, guitars are expensive. Oh, buy secondhand.
Because, guitars are expensive, and so are pedals, and so is everything right now.
One of the things actually that Jordan spoke to me about, which I didn't get, was the history of the spin chip, Bri. I forget the name of the guy. He was massive.
Roger.
Yeah, massive in the industry, worked for every pedal company. And he basically invented the spin chip so that it was a pedal that he as an audio engineer could program. Yeah. So the programming language of
Frank?
It.
Is that who you're talking about?
Frank, that sounds right. Mm-hmm. What was his name?
It is a very famous person, but I'm terrible at names in history. So,
Keith Barr, sorry.
That's it, Keith Barr.
Oh, yep. That's right. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Who worked for, I forget the name of the companies he
MXR.
Worked for.
MXR
was the MXR, one I wanted to say, Alesis. But I don't want to sound the bigger idiot. He invented Alesis. That was his company.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
You know, kind of a groundbreaking company. So this guy was an absolute genius. The tragedy is like 2 months after the spin chip came out, he passed away, I think, very unexpectedly of a nasty disease. But I think the whole industry owes him a debt because that spin chip is in so many different pedals,
and
right?
He basically like made it easy to use. He created a manual for people to use. And so it's basically like a DIY, build your own DSP chip that, for example, what I'm saying is like, you say, I want Chorus. Copy and paste this code, stick it in here, bam, you got Chorus. And that's how he made the chip to work.
Yeah.
He really opened up the entire boutique gear world to creating DSP products. Easy. Mm-hmm.
And then there's people that have been able to take that basic platform, you know, and expand it even into, you know, like hot rod in a car, you start making it do things it wasn't originally designed for, but it's pretty cool. It's a very crucial piece of hardware in our industry for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember talking to Jamie from Earthquaker whenever he was first into it. He's like, I just like messing with stuff just to see if I can break it. And then if it makes something cool, I'm like, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is a very analog approach. We do the same thing with analog. Right? What happens if I make this resistor 1K instead of 1 meg? Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. So, it gets glitchy.
Yeah, so literally, you know, I don't know where I'm going with my little DIY project with building fuzz pedals. I'd just like to say that I have built my fourth fuzz pedal.
I'm waiting for you to announce oliverpedals.com.
Well, I may already have a domain, you know that. But I mean, I'm just enjoying it for a hobby at the moment. And look, I love the fact that people are already saying, if you made a pedal, I would buy it. And I already have a pedal that I may or may not make and sell. We'll see. But I'm really enjoying it. And what Jordan did for me, talking to him, kind of like when me and you talk, Bri, except he wasn't being nasty to me. Well, at least not outwardly anyway. No,
he doesn't love you as much as I do, that's why.
Ah, bless you. He very much made me think more about maybe I could handle some basic spin chip type projects.
Yeah,
maybe,
you could. It's super easy.
Yep. Is it? Okay, I love that. So anyhow, as the resident British King of Fuzz, I do need to talk to you about the latest pedal I built, Bri, which was the quickest pedal I have ever built.
Can I say something real quick before we get into that conversation?
No.
I'm going to anyways. if I were you, Richard, I would document what you're doing now, like on YouTube.
100%.
Or TikTok. Document everything you're doing. Everything, and then when you do release something in six months to a year or whatever, now you have a customer base. You have people that have been watching your journey.
Well, I actually thought about that literally half an hour before we started recording, because I was like, I built this pedal in, I'm going to say about an hour flat. That's long enough to make a YouTube video of me like live streaming building a pedal. That might be useful to some people, because I've already seen multiple people on forums make mistakes that I've already learned from. And I'm like, huh, maybe that is something I could do. And I took a photo. Did I send you the photo of my, I did, of my special methodology for laying out resistors and capacitors to speed up the building of a kit? I'm loving it, Bri, but yeah, I've just made a green ringer fuzz. You are familiar with this circuit, yeah. I believe, Mr. Wampler.
I am. Well, it is kind of fuzzy, but it's technically not a fuzz. But yeah.
Well, I mean, it's using the same transistors that I'm using in my Big Muff clone, the pig, which is based on a sort of animal's tone from Gilmore. But it's using the 5088, 2N5088?
Yeah, just a standard NPN type of transistor.
Yeah, but relatively high gain transistors, right? So, like, if you were using, let's say, BC108s or 109s, they would be much lower gain than those 5088s, I think, right?
Yes, but don't think of gain in this way like a more fuzz. I mean, yes, it can do that, but it's kind of used in different ways. So, for example, with the fuzz face, generally you want to use lower gain transistors because it's going to respond better, it's going to be less noisy, it'll still be quite fuzzy. But it's more like a response thing in that situation.
This is, again, you know, probably down to that whole impedance volume tone thing and how that reacts with a fuzz face, right?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it has to do with low gain transistors and how much you're loading down the input. So you can do the same thing with silicon. You just need to load down the input a lot and use low gain transistors. But, so like if you're looking at the green ringer, what you basically have is it's just an audio amplifier. You're boosting the sound, then you're sending it through another transistor, which is a PNP, sorry, not an NPN. And then it's like it splits the signal. It then like clips part of the, like one part of the signal and then combines everything back together.
So how does it split the signal? Is it using the capacitors to kind of filter the signal that it splits out?
Now, if you look at that second transistor, you have two signals from two different pins of that transistor. So that's one signal that's out of phase 180 degrees, one signal that's in phase. And then
how do I see phase together? I can't see phase written on my circuit board.
You can't see phase, but you just have to know that whenever you're basically when you amplify audio with a transistor like that, it inverts the phase 180 degrees. If you use it like a buffer, it does not. So that's what you have. You have two of those paths. One is amplifying a bit. The other one is just basically acting as a buffer. But then it goes through diodes and clips part of the signal, one part of
it. Yep.
And then it combines it back together.
So, what's doing the combination? Is it just combining in the circuit, or is the third transistor helping with the combination?
The third transistor is just letting it combine back together and then buffering out. That way,
this is a much better TED talk than your earlier one on economics. I'm just going to let you know. I think you should lean heavier.
I don't have to be politically correct when we're talking about transistors.
You know, I've been meaning to tell you guys, I'm going to be building a pedal here soon. The kick is, I don't know exactly what it is. Stumac just said that they were releasing some quote, rare pedals in a kit and wondered if I wanted to try my hand at building them. And the answer is
great.
No, I don't want to try my hand at building them, but it would make a good video once a half blind man attempts to solder everywhere and everyone can make fun of me.
Yeah. In fact, that's my next video coming out, is I am building a Stumac kit, but I am doing it my own damn way.
All right.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what happens. So but the reason this kit was so quick is I literally no longer have to read any of the build instructions, or at least I think that. I just need to know what R1 is and what C1 is and what Q1 is. Why do they use Q for transistors? Why not T?
I knew you were going to ask me something like that that I have no idea about off the top of my head. Let me find out.
Someone like clever. I bet Sasha Sir knows. I bet he's written about it in his book.
Schematics use Q. Probably.
I'll tell you why. It goes back to a forum back in 2020. And let me tell you, Q is a big deal on that forum. And that's why they use it to this day.
Don't tread on me, Blake.
Okay, here you go. Let's see. The transistors had been used before vacuum tubes, and they claimed the T reference. Therefore, they had to come up with something unique, TR would not have been clearly differentiated from transformers, so they decided to use Q.
That makes a lot of sense. That makes sense.
Okay. All right. It does make some sense, because they'd already used R and probably S.
I will tell you, I hate questions like that because it doesn't involve sound. So like sometimes someone will say, what's the current on that pin? I'm like, I don't effing care. It doesn't matter.
No, and I apologize for taxing the part of your brain that doesn't need to be taxed. That wasn't a deliberate attack.
I hate it. It's not that I hate it. It's just that it's like talking about how bread is made. You know, you're like, ugh.
I mean, there's a whole podcast really, in that alone.
I love bread.
I just don't like that side of electronics. I like the creative side, not the math side.
But seriously, what is the current on that pin?
Well, depends what you're doing with it.
I want to tell me what it is.
One.
Okay, thank you.
The current is one.
All right, cool.
And I've also got to say,
what you're fitting it.
Almost my most successful enclosure. The labeling doesn't look great, but I did a two-stage green and yellow fluorescent spray fade on it and then did the black crackle over it, and it is 80s heaven. But I did it without any of the, you know how I've been like texting you like, oh, I've messed this up. Oh, look, I've messed this up too. None of that. Perfect, absolutely smooth, absolutely even, right number of coats, and it's ready only 4 days after the circuit was built, which I'm trying to get better at, because there's nothing more frustrating than finishing a circuit and then having to wait 4 days for all the different paints to dry and
so
cure.
Question, did you bake this one at all?
I don't have baking facilities, Bri.
I thought you were going to get one. I thought you were going to get a little toaster oven or something.
My understanding is the whole Oliver residence is a baking facility.
I was really baked.
Don't get me wrong. I was baked.
What I do have, Bri, is I have what I call my kind of weak baking facility, which is a fan and an angle poise lamp poised directly at the pedal. So it takes a little longer, but same effect. But it was Travis Feaster who gave me the idea for this, because he said what we should build as Wampler, or you should build as Wampler pedals, Bri, is a fuzz face into a green ringer. And I thought, well, I better build a green ringer then, because I've built a fuzz face. And unfortunately, I think I'm going to have to now build another one, because I want to try that fuzz face into green ringer combo that he's talking about. So
yes. You can't go wrong with building more and more circuits. You only get better and you only learn more stuff. Now, I would say, I would recommend breadboarding things, because then you can pull it apart and build new stuff.
It's funny, because I was thinking, I was looking at various schematics, so I think I might build a Mosrite. I don't know whether it's Mosrite or Mosrite, but we'll go with either. I was thinking about making a Mosrite fuzz, because it was kind of like a fuzz face, but used transistors I already had. Actually, it's two more of those 5088s, I think. And I was like, oh, I might just build that. And I was like, I wonder if I've got the right strip board for that. And I wonder if I can modify it on the strip board. It's like, if only there was some way of putting it on the strip board and modifying it and knowing if it would work before I put it together. And then I looked to the right where all my breadboards were sat, going, oh, yes, that's why I bought those in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Brian's in Mosrite.
So Mosrite, Fuzzrite. Okay.
That's it, the Fuzzrite. Yeah. It kind of looks like a fuzz face with higher gain transistors to me.
Kind of, sort of, but not really.
Huh. That's a really polite way of saying that I'm an idiot without saying it. I appreciate that.
I see how you say that, because what you have is...
two transistor stages cascading.
Into
two transistors and a microphone. Oh, no.
But see, the way that a fuzz face is set up, there's like some resistance that comes back in on the first transistor. You don't have that on this.
It's not
the same type of amplification stage. That's why I'm like, I see how you got there from here, because you're applying some negative feedback and stuff, but it's not doing the same thing.
Negative feedback, we get that in the comments.
I mean, that's basically, if you look at the reviews for this podcast, it's just one big negative feedback.
Yeah.
Right. My life is nothing but negative feedback. I'm just going to let you know that right now, bro.
And that's why you sound good, Richard.
I think this is definitely a conversation to be continued, but I'm conscious of the time. We're up to an hour. We've got a Patreon to do. I want to very quickly.
It goes to show when you drink a bunch of coffee beforehand, this goes really quick.
I want to give a quick shout out to our good friend Pigsy, who turned me on to a band called Cold Chisel. And they have a guitarist called Ian Moss, and he can play the guitar. And I love it when someone, and I think they're a band from the 80s, I forget, but I love it when someone sends me a link and it's like not what I expect it to be, and it's better. So thanks for that. That's all I got for you. Yeah. So a huge thanks and magnificent shout out to our executive producers, Bill Bays, Justin Burke, David Tyndall, Nighthoss, Dave Trombetti, not Trambetti. That's a different person. Shannon Weaver and the band Reduced to Rust. Also just Shannon Weaver on his own. The band don't always have to be here. Eric Wilson. Come on, you gooners. Vida Frostad. Michael Freer, Sean Arbo of Gun Street Wiring, Rick Calhoun of the Honey Picks, Patrice Fournays, Dylan Talks Tone, Scientific Uppercut, great enclosure man, Kevin Harrington, Barry from Grez Guitars, Tom Kelly, Jake Young of the Man the Helm podcast. Listen to the latest Man the Helm podcast. Not only will you hear Brian completely forget what our release schedule for the last year is, whilst Richard shouts at him from England, but you will also hear him tell of what our next pedal release is before telling Richard that he was going to do that. You know, so he has to just find out.
I got a very angry Richard call. What the hell are you doing?
Pigsy, John O'Neill, Robert Carr, Hunter Hudson, Rob Stokes, El Gibberito, Nick Spano, Sasha Sir, whose book I'm about to dive right back into, Jay Stratton, Seth Williford, Harry Post, Grumpy Mike, Harvey Pedals, Alison Carroll, Patrick Zeller, Bum Laser, Anthony Stevens, Chris Brown, Phil Carter of the 40 Watt podcast, Mark Bauman, Christopher Logan, Jason Engelhart, De Crowhawk, Dylan Lewis, David Gilmore. Thank you very much and good night.
David Gilmore. Hold on. Wait a minute. I think you guys, we need to talk about something.
All right. And to everyone except David Gilmore, thanks. We'll see you next week.
No, thank you, David. Come back to my house.
Thanks for listening to the Chasing Tone podcast. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can email podcast@wamplerpedals.com and I'll personally get your email. To email Blake, simply email info@tonemob.com and Richard can be reached at richard@wamplerpedals.com. If you'd like to show your support for the show, the simplest and free way to do that is to share this podcast with a friend, leave a review and a rating wherever you normally get your podcasts. Also check out Blake's podcast called The Tone Mob. And make sure you check out WamplerPedals.com for blogs, videos, and of course, guitar effects. If you'd like to hear the post-podcast conversations and to get even more content, twice the amount of podcast episodes, simply check out our Patreon at patreon.com/ChasingTonePodcast. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.